Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The myth is that it's all about sex, and my theory is it isn't just about sex. It's
right.
actually
There's
just about
the sex.
It's about the version of yourself that shows up in the affair relationship or the secondary relationship. That actually maybe you feel looser, maybe you feel more validated.
You're listening to Laid Bare.
Charlotte, I'm masturbating. I told you I'd be doing that all day today.
Hey guys, and welcome to Laid Bare. You're joined with me, your host Oloni.
I'm your favorite homegirl Nikki,
and we have a very special guest with us today, Lucy Beresford.
Woohoo! Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. I know you used to be on LBC some time ago. I think I was a caller, but I was like a guest on the show
time
ago. Yeah. So I remember when you had the sex and relationships slot.
Absolutely.
It wasn't too long ago. I think it was around probably 2018.
Yeah, it only finished about a year or so ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I think I asked someone about it. I was just like, why don't you guys have the sex and relationships slot anymore? And I think they fed me some story about like how lewd people would call in sometimes, and they would say like the most random things sometimes.
Oh, really?
But that's the best bit about live radio, for sure.
That is the best bit about live radio. I still wonder like how it's done, because I still obviously like I listen to like before I go to bed. I'm not gonna lie, like I do play LBC. I put it on the side.
But you know, there's a dump button, so there was always like an 8-second delay. So if anybody said anything contentious, then it wouldn't necessarily go out live. But no, I mean, to be fair, everybody loves it. Everyone loves the show.
No,
because people are so nosy about other people's relationships.
Exactly. True. And I think that's why it's such.
And I'm here so that you can tell me about your relationships.
Yeah.
Is that right? Is that right?
Exactly.
That is fine.
If Basically. Not, I'm leaving now.
Yeah. Now, we always start off the show with our favourite question. Lucy, you don't have to get involved if you don't want to, but feel free if you do want to.
Now I'm really intrigued. And it's not going to be about breakfast, is it? Because we've done that.
It's not going to be about breakfast. But yes, Miss Nikki, I want to know, when was the last time you got laid last?
I haven't been laid.
You haven't?
Guys, I've been heartbroken.
Heartbroken?
You know this, I was heartbroken.
When?
Having
that guy?
Yeah.
That's a long time ago.
Anyway, we're still...
Okay, so it's been a while for you.
It's been a minute.
Yeah.
It might change soon-ish. Check back with me the next episode. But I still been using my Lilo.
Ooh, nice.
That little toy, listen... I'm like, the how long I last is getting smaller and smaller and smaller. Last time I'm telling you was about 58 seconds.
Okay, I see. Fair enough. I'm not gonna lie, I haven't been laid. You guys know fiance is away. But I will say, I feel like because it's getting colder, my room has been getting even warmer, and I do anything to keep myself warm. So that includes masturbating and finding different ways on how I can do so. But yeah, you said the Lilo toy for you.
Mine is amazing.
Get away from my Pro 40. If anyone has any recommendations for me, please feel free to use the hashtag LaidBarePodcast. I'm more than happy.
But this is really interesting. So
yeah.
You both use sex toys
to
masturbate. But
yep.
So would you get a better quality of orgasm, would you say?
Absolutely, all the time.
Because?
Without it.
Why? So why would you not just use your fingers and hands?
Oh, good question. Acrylic nails, not very hygiene-wise.
This is very true. I'm learning so much.
Hygiene-wise, so, and I think toys just get me there quicker and faster.
That exactly.
It's not
that
the destination, exactly. It's the journey.
It really is the journey, but it depends on what type of journey I want. Do I want the
this
journey? Do I want the journey that's gonna send me to sleep quickly, or do I want the journey that's gonna
just
make love to myself? Mm-hmm. Because it doesn't mean that I won't what's the word? I call it the world calls it edging in the world of sex anyway. Edging. So I was edging a bit today where I teased myself, stopped, and I said, okay, the battery on the toy is about to like die soon. So this is the perfect time to edge, because you want it really, you wanna feel the vibrations and the intensity. So pause.
That would make me
charge
cry.
It. No, 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 no.
Edging is a really good technique to
it
have
out to technique.
Male or female.
Yeah.
It is really important actually, because there could be so many situations where actually you do either need to stop, or you need to encourage someone else to go a little bit faster or slower or whatever it might be. You're just better able to be in tune with your body. I love that.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I just haven't used my Pro 40 because I've lost the charger again. This is like the second or third time.
Do you not have a drawer beside your bed?
No, you told me off for this last time.
Yes, you have a drawer beside your bed and then you put all the cables inside there.
You see, now I need to go to IKEA just to store my sex toys.
Have you got that special sex toy drawer? Do they have that in their catalogue? Is that how they describe it in IKEA?
Do you know, I have a sex toy drawer.
And if not, why not?
Yeah, I have a sex toy on the other side of my sex toy, on the other side of my bed. So I've got like my lamp and like the cables for my phone, my laptop, etc. Then the other side, which is Bayside actually, but when he's not there, it's literally like, everything. I've got my sex toy ornament, my sex toy books, and I've got the drawer with all the sex toys. And usually if my mum comes over, I hide them and throw them.
Although some of them now look so stylish.
They do.
They could just be, you know, art. They could be on your bookshelf and nobody would necessarily know.
Absolutely. Apart from my cleaner. I don't want to scare my cleaner. So again, when she comes over, I hide it as well. But we do use it like, even usually when we're like filming visuals, we have a dildo that's so pretty. It's really pretty. And we use it as like part of... yeah, just furniture, really.
Once when we got burgled, because I get sent all these toys by everybody. So I've got about, I don't know, 50
or
60 in boxes. Exactly, I give them prizes. I give them to people, you know, friends who are having hen parties. Yeah. Whatever. We got burgled and the burglar went through the house looking at everything, opening drawers, opening pots, and obviously went into this room and just thought, well, I better open every box because the whole bed was just covered with all these sex toys and I'd taken out of all the boxes. He must have thought, what the holy fuck? What kind of place have I walked into?
How do we know he didn't even test them out?
That's true, they could have dried afterwards. I did throw them away.
The horror. Oh my
God. I'm just envisioning.
Yeah, we got burgled 17 times after that. His mates came round having a
Oh my God.
I am joking.
I was about to say 17 times.
So Lucy, please tell us, there's a report that's come out about Ashley Madison and we would love to hear more about it. Of course, when I first heard about Ashley Madison, I'll be honest, it was probably around the 2015 when the whole scandal happened. If you don't know the scandal, Google it. We'll probably talk about it a little bit. We'll see. But do you want to tell us about the new report that's come out?
Yeah, there's one that's come out quite recently. It's in tandem with YouGov, who've done some polling of Gen Z people who have been, you know, getting in touch with Ashley Madison, which is really interesting because, as you say, Ashley Madison is a married dating website. Yeah. But what you've got is a really large number of Gen Zers who are not married, who are aged between, you know, like 18 and 29, they're signing up. 85,000 of them signed up to Ashley Madison in the last 12 months.
Ooh.
So with YouGov, Ashley Madison worked asking people in 10 different countries how they felt about sex and relationships. So that's countries like Brazil, Australia, Switzerland, obviously Britain, just to sort of get a flavour of what different Gen Zers around the world really feel.
Right. Yeah.
And what's so interesting is that at least one in four of them think that having a non-monogamous relationship is absolutely fine. And in fact, in a country like Brazil, that goes up to nearly 70%.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So I think this is what, there's been a real shift in how people feel about monogamy and whether non-monogamy works better for them.
Yeah.
And I think there's a whole generation that's coming forward saying, I can't see myself with the same person for the end of time.
I don't blame them. Sometimes I always say, like, even though it's someone who is engaged, I'm just like, are we going to be monogamous forever? Like, you're trying to tell me.
Because you could live to 100.
I could live to 100. And will we get bored of each other? Is monogamy just this idea that society has really pushed on us because, you know, they believe that's the only way that relationships should be had when pop culture, for example, is showing us, not that that should be the standard, but, you know, pop culture literally shows us that it doesn't really work for everyone. I mean, if you think about friends and family, we all know someone who's divorced. We all know someone who has stepped out in their relationship. So maybe we really should try, you know, adapting different forms of relationship styles that suit us best, instead of forcing the idea of monogamy down each other's throat.
Yeah, and also I think different genders have a different approach to this. So women, interestingly enough, seem to be blazing the trail on this one. That actually they're the ones taking their sexual fulfillment and their emotional needs, kind of, they're taking it so seriously. And I think that's partly because women nowadays, they're so much more in control of their careers. They're so much more in control of their finances. So why would they not want to be in control of their sexual fulfillment or their emotional fulfillment?
Yeah.
And that's where I think you see people making different choices, particularly to what their parents did, yeah, or to, as you say, what you see in society. And I think this, there's another global phenomenon, which obviously for Gen Z is they're almost like the first generation that grew up with the internet completely. Yeah. I mean, it existed before they were born.
Yeah.
Whereas people like me have had to kind of navigate it as we grow up and as it came into being. And I think that for them, that generation, they just see the world in a very different way because they do have access to the world. They do get to see on TikTok, on Reels, on Instagram, what people are saying about relationships in Brazil, in Australia, in Iran or in Peru or whatever it might be. Mm. That actually there's a global phenomenon in terms of people saying, it's just this model just isn't working for me anymore. Monogamy is not the be-all and end-all for people anymore.
Yeah. So I think, you know, obviously there's a difference between non-monogamy and just straight out, I'm just saying, cheating. There's a difference in the setup. So is it more that women are looking to be more non-monogamous, or is it that they're stepping out of their relationships more?
Bit of both, actually.
Yeah.
And that, funnily enough, that speaks to a different report that Ashley Madison brought out maybe 6 months ago.
Okay.
Where people, where they asked men and women, you know, how do you regard your relationship? And for a lot of people, it was about the experimentation and that sense that I'm not going to say that one person can fulfill all my needs. Mm-hmm. And for men, it's probably an idea of, oh, well, I'll just sort of see what's out there. But for women, it's a very distinct choice to be able to say, I'm actually going to outsource this to someone else. Yeah. I'm going to. And what can happen in couples, I mean, I think the key distinction is disclosed non-monogamy and cheating, which is obviously slightly more secretive. Whereas with disclosed non-monogamy, you're basically saying to each other, it's not just going to be you and me, baby. It's actually going to be some other people as well, maybe one other person, maybe more than one other person. Mm. And for which we're probably going to need to create a couple's contract.
Yeah.
So that it's actually
a couple's contract
decided. Yeah, it's not, you don't go to a lawyer. It's not like anything formal. But you can just create a Word document.
Of course,
yourself,
you know, have an agreement of what goes and what's the boundaries.
What are the boundaries? What are the rules? What are the sanctions if those rules get broken or those boundaries get broken?
Yeah.
Everyone's on the same page. My advice would be that couple's contract kind of gets looked at maybe very regularly in the early days, say maybe at the end of every week in the beginning, because you never know what's going to come up. It could mobilize all sorts of feelings for you. There could be a lot of jealousy. There could be feelings that you never expected.
Yeah.
So definitely monitor that couple's contract in the early days and then maybe review it once a year.
Absolutely. That sounds great. I think what also gets to me is obviously with the reputation, I'm not going to shy away from it, is the reputation that Ashley Madison does have. I remember I was saying before we started the show, I was just like, I was a bit worried because, one of our episodes have literally just got a bit viral because we're talking about a woman who sent us a dilemma. She stepped out of her relationship. And so did her friends, and she doesn't know what to do because she's just like, here's this guy who can meet all my sexual needs and my partner's great, you know, we are compatible in other ways apart from sex. Like, he's okay, but he's not that amazing. And you have a bunch of men online who are just like basically ringing the bell, yelling shame, 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 shame. So it's this idea that, you know, obviously we know that
it's
cheating,
very judgmental.
Yeah.
And would you say the judgment is coming mainly from men?
Yes,
absolutely. And I think there's a reason why. I feel like for women, I don't even think it's the cheating. I think it's just the idea that a woman dares to step out and dares to, you know, have her own, pursue her own sexual
fulfillment.
Exactly. And it just scares some people. And don't get it twisted, cheating is wrong. I'm aware. It's not, I think any sort of betrayal in a relationship whereby you don't tell your partner something that you're doing is wrong, especially if you are supposed to be loyal to each other. And you might have created your own contract where in monogamy, it's literally, we have to be honest with each other about these things.
Right.
But I don't know where my point is with this now.
I think there's a really interesting debate to be had about, I mean, I gave a TED talk and
yeah, I watched it. Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So infidelity, to stay or go, what is actually the end result of infidelity? Because it will affect people. And I think a lot of people who are in, even if they're in blissfully happy relationships, have in the back of their mind that sense of, how would I react if something like this happened to me? If betrayal or infidelity kind of rocked our world, what would I do? Mm. And My observation is that theoretically, a lot of people have a very hard line about it.
Yeah.
You know, one strike and you're out. Cheating is wrong. Betrayal is bad.
Yeah.
Secrecy is a no-go area. But I think the reality is much grayer than that. And yeah. I think there are all sorts of ways in which relationships can survive and actually be made stronger as a result of the honesty that comes out of the discovery of betrayal.
Wait, so you think that cheating can make the relationship stronger?
I think how the aftermath of that is handled
yeah.
can actually open up conversations that have probably Ooh, been...
Not me, boy.
...left to... I think unfortunately, couples yeah. get into ruts.
But yeah, there I are. Think they get into there are couples out there
where they don't have conversations. They might say to me, if they come to work with me clinically as a psychotherapist,
yeah.
or if they ring my radio show,
yeah.
they're saying, I've told him this a million times. I've told her that thousands of times. Mm-hmm. But actually, have you really been listening to each other? Have you really been paying attention mm-hmm. to each other's needs?
Yeah.
And I think what's really interesting is that often what happens in couples is the betrayer
yeah.
will often say, well, I was very unhappy. In this way, you were focusing on your career or you were focusing on the kids or your parents or whatever it was. And the other person turns around and says, well, do you think I was happy as well?
Yeah.
You know, that actually there could be two very unhappy people in a relationship.
Yeah.
And if that then gets laid bare and the two of you can work on that, then actually the potential for you staying together in a stronger, more honest and authentic relationship is very real.
Yeah.
But I found in like my past experiences that men lie about why they cheat because they did it for the sake of doing it.
Well, if they even know. I mean, my contention would be that, well, certainly the myth is that it's all about sex. And my theory is it isn't just about sex. It's
right.
actually
There's
just about
the sex.
It's about the version of yourself that shows up in the affair relationship or the secondary relationship that actually maybe you feel looser, maybe you feel more validated or more seen, maybe you do feel a bit more powerful or maybe a bit more submissive. I mean, there are ways in which people often hide from their loved ones the person that they really want to be.
That is true.
This relationship.
And that's not just even with cis hetero relationships. You have men who are in... who are supposed to be in straight relationships, but then you find out that there's this other sexuality that they also have and they don't really get to live that. Not even just sexuality, it could be fantasy as well, that they don't really, you know, want to live
with. And also
with...
it's not gender specific. I mean, we're not just talking about heteronormative relationships.
Of course, we're talking about all.
All relationships.
Or even secret ones as well, because not everyone can be open about their sexuality as well.
Definitely.
But yeah, I guess I kind of get what you're saying, because I kind of, when you think about TV shows that have any man or a woman non-binary cheating, you actually do see another version of themselves when they're with that secondary partner.
Mm.
So it is interesting. But still, I feel like for those who are listening, there will be people who are still shaking their head like, no, I still don't buy that. Like, I'm not, you know.
But the question
still
is, what are they shaking their head at?
Yeah.
Are they shaking their head about the idea that they wouldn't ever cheat? And that I can understand someone who says, I just could never do that.
Yeah.
Either from a physiological point of view, from a moral point of view,
yeah.
from just an opportunistic point
yeah.
of view, that there could be all sorts of reasons. And it just... They take their vows very seriously, whatever it might be. But the problem is, what do you do when it happens?
Yeah.
Because human relationships are really mutable and they're so finely balanced that actually you need to think about the things that are really important to you. And that's, in a way, that's
yeah.
why this YouGov Ashley Madison survey was so telling. It was, there's a generation out there that are asking themselves these questions before they get into a relationship,
yeah.
before they have an opportunity to find out whether this person is faithful or not.
Yeah.
They're actually trying to construct a model that works for them around how would I feel if there was a third person in this relationship? How would I feel if it was secret? How would I feel if it was made public? So there's really interesting stats around whether people feel obliged to kind of go online, to go public with the fact that they've got this secondary relationship and what that speaks to, whether they want that validation. And I just worry that because we have such black and white thinking about relationships, we're missing the grey area, which is that actually this could happen to you or you might be tempted. And then what does that do to your sense of self if you've said, I think, you know, people who cheat are morally reprehensible, and then you find yourself in that kind of situation.
Then what
yourself.
Do you do? Then
Does that
you realise, yeah,
you're morally reprehensible.
Exactly.
No, you then turn around to me and say, I have felt very unloved, very unfulfilled in my relationship. My partner ignores me. Their parents hate me. My children are me. Let me give you an example, which is a very extreme example.
Yeah.
And it, I think it will be outside of the remit of many of your listeners. But to me, it really helped me reframe things. It was two things, actually. One, the majority of people who have affairs do not want to end their primary relationship. That is not the reason why they're having the affair. And there are a few subset who might be actually hoping that the infidelity will kind of put the kibosh on the relationship in general when it gets discovered. But that's very few and far between. But I had a caller to my LBC show who was 64, I think. So, you know, not 94, but 64, still healthily active and wanted to be healthily active sexually. Mm. But their partner was unwell and they couldn't, and they were almost a 24/7 carer. Oh. And so they contacted Ashley Madison and they started a relationship with someone who was about 8 or 10 years younger. And it was just a very beautiful experience for this person to feel more alive, to feel seen, to feel treasured. And we can understand that because we make judgments about the fact, oh, well, if that person, if that partner was unwell, then that makes it all right. Well, my question to your listeners is, why does that then not make it right if you're being ground down because your career is overwhelming you and your kids are too demanding and your partner is never there? Why is that? That's, you could understand why somebody might do that.
I was going to ask, so I'm guessing the sick partner didn't know about the person
did not know.
Yeah, and I think that's what gets me sometimes. I wish that we grew up understanding that we don't really own people, we're supposed to experience them, and maybe there's different ways. I feel like monogamy is so like really forced down our throats. Because even though I understand what you're saying, and it's true, at the end of the day, people are human. When you step out of your relationship, there are many reasons. And it is annoying sometimes. Even I see it when people are just like, oh, you should just leave. I'm just like, it's not that easy. They've got a mortgage together. Like, it's not that easy. Of course, there are kids. And, you know, I do still encourage people to leave if they're not happy, especially women. I do encourage people to leave if they're not happy.
And if it's an abusive relationship.
And it's an abusive relationship, you have to go. Like, that's not even up for debate. Cheat and cheat if you're in an abusive relationship, but leave. Leave. That's my own personal message, yeah. But at the same time, I feel like if there is all these things happening whereby you're unhappy, it's sort of though you're living a double life. Like, I understand that people make mistakes and that nobody, because my politics is that you shouldn't step out. Mm-hmm. But then I'm not going to pretend I've never been in this situation where I'm just like, well, that wasn't right. You've definitely emotionally, you shouldn't have flirted with that person. Mm. You shouldn't have led that person on and then stopped because you remembered that you're actually in a relationship. Like, I'm going to be honest with you guys, okay? I'm not perfect, but I'm not going to pretend I don't still hate the concept of cheating.
Yeah.
But if I could go back, when the whole, like, I mean, for those who don't know, there was the whole scandal with Ashley Madison when things went crazy and people found out, you know, what Ashley Madison was and what they do.
There was basically a data breach.
Yeah, a data breach that happened. Yeah. And the hackers revealed everyone's information. It was a scary time, but also a time where I was just like, I didn't know this was a thing. I don't know why I was shocked, because those type of sites have existed for a very long time. But obviously now it's
formalized something that had been around for a very long time. I mean, adultery is, it's in the Bible.
Yeah.
That you shouldn't commit it. So it must have been going on back then.
Yeah.
In that kind of way. And I think that is it, as you say, there is such a grey area sometimes if you are working with someone or if you do meet them on a holiday or you know, you go to your tennis club or your football club or your photography club or bell ringing or whatever it might be. And you end up starting a friendship with someone,
right.
You know, at what point is there a voice in your head that says, well, this might be going down a different direction, but you actually haven't had a conversation with the other person, so you don't want to presume.
Yeah.
You know, it's a minefield.
Yeah.
Because that's like a very Gen Z thing. You know, there's this thing on Twitter, just social media, about your work wife or your work husband. Like, how far does it go? So there's this thing about if you've got like a work wife, so the woman that a man at work might find like a little bit attractive, you have guys have banter, a special relationship, it could go
there's
down
a connection
the road. Yeah,
there's a connection,
yeah,
there's,
and it could go down connection. That road of cheating. So that's what I thought of when you said that, like, it always starts off as something.
Yeah,
that's what, oh my god, this but do you topic.
But do you think that that's literally what Ashley Madison are trying to do, because I feel like even the tagline, you know, life is short, have an affair. To me, when I think about it, I'm not thinking, oh, they care about the people who are in relationships with someone who is sick. Mm-hmm. I think they're just thinking about, you know, a rich white man who has a lot of money and, you know, is tired of his wife and just wants something to play with or someone to play with from time to time. Not, I don't want to say justify, but like, you know, is there a part of you that still feels like, oh, this isn't, you know, exactly a good thing? Because let's be real. I mean, I think I read that the main, the people who are on the roster for Ashley Madison are mostly men. I don't think it's Gen Z women.
No, I think it's 50-50.
Is it 50-50 now?
Yeah. I mean, that's the really interesting thing. And I think when I did my TED talk, I think that was out of a realization that there are just so many people who are in situations like this where they feel so miserable in their relationships. And my big question would be, where is our judgment around society's expectation that you should stay in a miserable situation without taking any steps?
Yeah.
And there was some quite interesting political discussion earlier this year about whether, for example, the government of the day or maybe parties in the future should alter the tax system in order to make it more attractive for people to stay married.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, holy fuck, have we got to the place
they're begging us,
are not allowed to leave a miserable or a toxic or an abusive or just fundamentally demeaning relationship, one that diminishes you, that encourages you to play small. And actually it really hurt me to think of all the progress that has been made, particularly in terms of women's rights, to destigmatize issues around single moms, around women blazing a trail, women asking for divorce. Because by far they are the biggest category of women, of people over 45 asking for divorces. It's being driven by women.
Really?
It must be.
Oh, actually, that doesn't shock me. Women, women usually ask for divorces. Sorry.
Yeah. And then the men, you know, run off into the arms of someone else in a fortnight, but that's fine.
Yeah.
Because what the woman is doing is saying, yes, but you were kind of, you treated me shabbily, so now that's fine. I'm walking away from that. That's someone else's problem now.
Yeah.
But the woman is standing firm and saying, I deserve more than this. Yeah. And have we got to the situation where governments of the day are tinkering around the edges of tax policy in order to force, let's be clear, people to stay together? Yeah, I'm afraid it isn't really black and white about saying,
it's definitely
Ashley Madison exists and is that a good or a bad thing? It's like, no judgment here.
Yeah.
No judgment.
I don't know. I think because I picture like an Ashley Madison user, I'm not thinking, because that report is interesting, because again, when I think of Ashley Madison, I'm not thinking of Gen Z.
Correct.
I'm thinking of...
a bit older.
Yeah.
And like, I think that's why Ashley Madison approached YouGov to really drill down into the polling for this. Because YouGov has representations, you know, in multiple continents. And it was really about saying, okay, so what is going on in Canada and in Austria? You know, that actually what we're seeing is a global phenomenon.
Yeah.
And I think it's changing the way that people will think about relationships in general. And as a result, it will change the way people think about monogamy and whether that's outdated or whether that's a model that can
monogamy
last.
Is definitely outdated. It shouldn't even, like, I wish we did, again, I keep saying this, I know I've been saying it for ages, but I really do wish, like, I know other societies around the world or other, like, you know, cultures around the world do practice, like, different forms of relationships, but I wish that was something that was practiced as well in the Western world.
Exactly.
Which it just isn't. But
what, like polyamory, do you mean?
Polyamory, all forms of like open relationships, whether that's polyamory, polygamy, or just different forms of non-monogamous relationships, because it just feels as though you've got a bunch of, I will speak for millennials anyway, but we said this last time, you have a bunch of millennials who are forcing themselves into relationships and then they're like, hold up, wait, don't actually want this. And then they leave. And I'm talking about marriage, not just relationships.
Yeah,
I'm talking about they get married. Yeah, I have so many friends who've got married
and
in the last
or separated.
6 years or 5, 6 years, and they're getting separated.
They feel that society is, or families, or...
It's cold. culture. I think it's. I think it's mostly culture. It's a cultural thing, especially if you're talking about like our background, where it's you go to university, you meet your wife or your husband at university, you get married, but then I feel like we're fighting back against our families, and we're like, no, I don't want this, and you can't force me to have it. So, I don't know. Okay. My next question is, what happens after? So you have this person who's just like, right, I like the person who I've met on this website. They're a great laugh, you know, we hit off really well, and they bring out this other part of me. What then happens when the wife or the husband then finds out? Because sometimes it happens. Well, what then? What happens then?
How do you navigate that?
Yeah, how do you navigate
so that's,
it?
Yeah, so that's really the subject, because, you know, what happens at that moment of betrayal and your discovery of that? And I think that actually it's then beholden on both sides to look at what they had created as their primary couple, because a couple creates the couple. It's not just one person or the other. And even if your partner is 99% responsible for the emotional pain that you are now currently wading through, that still leaves 1% for you to look at and own and work on.
Yeah.
So this isn't about saying, oh, it must be your fault then. You know, you were too busy, you know, giving some Uber presentation around the world or something.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Neglecting your family life at home, or maybe you were looking after the kids or the elderly parents or whatever it was, or you had too many dogs, or I don't know. But were you the person that didn't hear when your partner came back from work and said, I hate my job, I just feel so overwhelmed by it all. Were you the one that just said, oh, well, you know, never mind, let's, you know, what's for dinner or whatever? Did you stop listening to each other? Did you stop sharing your needs?
Yeah.
And
I just feel like you can do all of that and beyond for, like, I'm speaking as just obviously as a cis-hetero woman. I feel like you can do everything and more for a guy. He's still going to look at another woman in a short skirt. He will still look over his shoulder. You could be everything and more. That's where my worry is. I wish there was, like, I don't know if it does exist.
You don't want to give everything away, do you? There has to be a certain amount of mystique. And that's my worry.
Yeah.
I think couples, the very thing that couples long for, which is the closeness that you have, the fact that you don't have to go out clubbing anymore. You can just sit at home and watch, you know, something on telly.
Yeah.
Or just cook some ridiculous spaghetti bolognese together.
I had that before I came here.
Wonderful. Did you not bring any here?
Sorry about that.
The very thing that couples crave, which is comfort, is the very thing that then starts to kind of create friction, which is that it might seem boring, that it might seem very stale, that you're in a bit of a routine. Every Thursday night we go to Sainsbury's, and every Friday we do this, and then we take little Johnny to, you know, whatever on a Sunday, and you get into this routine.
Yeah.
which both feels very safe and can feel very claustrophobic.
Yeah.
So but why not have to be very alert for that?
So why not have a conversation and say, hey, babe, how about we explore this type of relationship? Because I've got friends in the sex industry who are also like sex content creators, and some of them are married and they're in open marriages. You'd never know because it's none of your business. But, you know, they'll tell me like, yeah, we're in an open, we're on and off. So they'll tell me like this period we're off. Okay, this period we're open again. Mm. So they close it. So they have that sort of relationship, because I do get it. It can be, if you've got the same schedule, yes, it's going to be boring. With kids, without kids, marriage, no marriage. If you're with
and
someone.
And if you're both on the same page for that, that's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah,
my worry is that where one side kind of bounces the other side into doing it.
Yeah.
Or, as you say, the moment where it becomes back on again, there's another person thinking, oh, I wish it wouldn't. I really preferred it when it was off and I'd love to give it. But I think it's you're absolutely right. It's about having those conversations.
Yeah.
But as you will know from the conversations you've had with other people, that actually we're notoriously bad in our relationships of actually saying what
sharing.
We feel and what we want because we're so scared of rejection.
I was going to say this around communication. Sometimes I feel like this communication actually really works, especially for our generation. Like, we do so much talking outside, but are we really talking inside?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's part of the problem, and this is in heteronormative relationships a little bit more so, that actually women really love doing what we're doing, which is basically chatting, talking, gossiping, swapping ideas. Kind of, it's like
opening our emotions.
When you have the sort of, you know, the baboon community, and they're picking each other's nits off the bat. You know, you've probably seen them. I've been on Safari. You've seen it. But it's a soothing process. You kind of, it's very cathartic.
Oh gosh.
So you're clearing the debris. And we love that, because it actually gives us a spike, gives girls a spike in oxytocin, which is that kind of feel good hormone.
So do they not get the spike of oxytocin?
They don't, men don't get the same spike. They just, the idea that you could talk about your problems or actually confess what your deepest feelings are, men are like, what?
Exactly.
Get me into my cave.
Did you say you're a psychotherapist?
Yeah.
Say you're systemic, because I could tell by the way you speak, because so am I. But then this is why I'm so hell-bent on talking, because that's what systemic is to actually bring around the talking and work around it. So now any situation I get in, I feel like I'm going off, like, about being clear. What is this? Where are we going? What do we want? And I just don't feel like it works.
You sound like every woman in the world.
I don't.
Believe me, you're not special. We would be doing that. They still lie.
Even using my professional practice, they're like, okay, think about my language, my tone. What do I want from this? What am I giving? And I'm like, okay, I'm hitting my head against a brick wall now.
Yeah.
So what do I do?
Yeah. I do think there is a certain amount of education that needs to take place. And if you're in a relationship,
let's say
again, in a heteronormative relationship, or maybe not so much, but it could be in a same sex, I guess. But it very much, if you're dealing with the other person, you are going to have to understand what their communication style is and educate them about your communication style.
Yeah.
Because, again, there is so many potential opportunities for it falling apart and falling down. But I just think never give up having those conversations.
Yeah.
And if eventually you are with someone who is just, you know, a bit like going around like that, la, 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 I don't want to hear you.
Yeah.
Rhino. Not that I can think of anyone in particular. So it's an in-law, it's not working. But the idea that sometimes you just can't communicate with that person.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you're speaking Portuguese and they're speaking French and you can't gel.
Yeah.
I say run. Or find someone who can maybe...
Who can meet you halfway.
Yeah.
Who is prepared to say, I get very uncomfortable when you talk about these topics, but I know how important it is for you and I am doing my best to listen, but I also just need to go into my cave when I'm worried about stuff. And that's hard sometimes for us to recognise. I remember the first time I actually witnessed that happening with somebody actually going into the sort of corner of the garden to pace about something. And I just thought that was insane. I thought that, you know, surely we could talk about it.
Yeah.
It's like, no, they have to go out. And again, that's part of the beauty of being in a relationship, learning about how someone else does something and then thinking, well, that's weird.
Yeah.
But I'll have to, you know, I'll have to compromise on that one.
Yeah.
But as you say, sometimes these things are bigger red flags. If it's a really big deal for you and this person isn't budging, then that tells you something.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
That you should run.
Oh, I need to take some notes because I have a conversation that needs to be heard. So I'm going to start writing.
Should we role play it now? Who do you want me to be? Who am I being in this conversation?
Oh, should we do it?
If you want to.
Okay, go on.
That would be hilarious.
Right.
So what gender am I?
A man.
Right.
Okay. So I feel like when you cheated and you left, you didn't really consider my feelings.
Yeah, but I said sorry.
But then sometimes, like, sorry just doesn't fix how I really feel. I want you to actually explain to me that you do understand what I'm saying, just part and just not say sorry.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, but can we just move on from this? It happened. How long ago was this?
But it was 2 months ago, by the way.
Yeah, I forgot.
Oh, wow. Look at me doing too much. But then how do I know? So how do we move on from here? How do I know that you're not going to do this again? Because if you're comfortable to do this the first time.
Babe, I've told you, I'm not going to do it again. Do you not believe me? Is this what, you just don't trust me, do you? You just don't trust me.
No. And then you see, how does this conversation go down?
Yeah, but that's the thing. Sometimes I feel like closure when it comes into relationships, especially because we're talking
about... Is closure a scam?
You just brought up cheating. I don't think closure is a scam.
Right, okay. Yeah. So here's a different way of doing it, okay?
Yeah.
So it's called the 5-minute conversation, okay. Which isn't... It doesn't mean it lasts for 5 minutes. What it means is... And also, I mean, it was very beautiful that you did start immediately.
Yeah.
But actually what you need to do is plan for the conversation. It needs to happen in a really respected space. So you can't just suddenly say, oh, can I talk to you about something? So obviously this is a bit of an artificial construct. So forgive me for that one. But it's about sitting down with someone in a very prescribed time and then saying, right, I'm going to talk for 5 minutes. And I really need you to listen.
Okay.
Because at the end of the 5 minutes, I need you to repeat back to me what you think you've heard me say.
Ooh.
And then...
And you know men don't like to listen.
And
are
then,
you going to pass the exam?
But the important thing is that then the table gets turned and they speak for 5 minutes. And you don't interrupt and you don't say anything. And then you have to repeat back what it is you think you've heard.
I'm taking notes.
Right, it's recorded. You can quite literally listen to it after.
Oh, no, but I need it for like...
Yeah, you won't forget.
You don't have to take notes.
Yeah, go on.
I take notes. So I just think that is a really important way for couples to have a conversation because it means not only do I feel like I get to say what I want to say, but I also have the experience of the other person repeating it back. Right. Now, the key thing is they mustn't, there's no judgment in their reporting back. So they're not saying, when you say, I feel really sad, da 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 da, and it happened 2 months ago, they're not, it wasn't 2 months ago, it was like 6 weeks. No. That's not their role. Mm-hmm. Their role is literally to say, okay, so what I've heard you say is that you're really sad. That what I've done, and then the conversation goes on like that. Okay. But they're not. No one's allowed to interrupt anybody. Mm-hmm. No one's allowed to put their point of view. And if you notice that the two of you are doing that, then you have to go back to the beginning and start your 5 minutes all over again. And to be fair, sometimes this is better done in front of like a third party, like a psychotherapist. But you can definitely do it on your own.
Good luck if they're a narcissist, though. If they're a narcissist, they're I have no hope for you.
No, my worry about the narcissist is that they're just very good at telling you what you want to hear.
Exactly.
They do tell you what you want to hear, and that's what becomes even scarier.
Oh, God. Anyway, guys, I'll report back to you next week.
That was amazing advice. Thank you so much,
Thank
Lisa.
You so much.
That was really good advice.
I know.
Speaking of advice, we have a couple dilemmas. We always do dilemmas at the end of the show because we have been talking. Do you know what? I'm not going to lie. You have given me a different perspective when it comes to Ashley Madison, because when I hear the name, I'm not going to lie to you. The first thing that pops up in my head is men who work in the city who just want to cheat and live a fast life. That's immediately what comes to mind.
Okay, but, so yeah, and then
but it's changed.
Just think of the lady age 60.
But then now, yeah, we've got her in my
head.
The Gen Z report. That's what I'm saying. And it shouldn't really be a surprise at the same time, because if you think about it, lifestyle and the way we use the internet, society is changing. And just as you mentioned in the beginning, it is Gen Z who grew, well, who didn't grow up with the internet. They actually grew... Actually, they did grow up with the internet, didn't they? Yeah. Yeah, I wanted to
say,
like...
It was just there.
Yeah, it was just there, basically. I feel like millennials grew up with the internet because it was, like, yeah, for us. But, yeah, so it makes sense as to why things would probably change and why you got that report as well. I'm not going to lie, I'm still fearful because I do feel like... When it comes to cheating, the repercussions for cishet women and cishet men is never the same. I feel like society's a lot more kinder to men when they step out. They're expected to step out in a sense, and women are expected, especially in like Black culture, we're expected to just like forgive, pray, beat the demon or the devil out of them and make it work. But I'm just like, why when you could either cheat back or just leave? But yeah, I do feel like there is that different perspective where we were talking about the people who were sick. There are a lot of gray areas, guys. You know, I still feel like, you know, context definitely does matter. It matters a whole lot. Am I 100% for it? I don't know, but I love the fact that we're having this conversation and it's giving us a different perspective, because if you weren't here, we'd probably just be having our own conversation with no context or no experience.
That there are some people out there for whom it is extremely important and extremely... And we can't judge that.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know what other people
are going through. It's true. No, it's true. I think the only part where I'm not going to lie, where I do judge is where I'm just like, you have everything you want. Why are you doing this to this woman? She gives you everything you want. Or the woman where it's just like...
she's pregnant.
You know, exactly, when she's pregnant or something. Or if it's a guy who's busting his ass, he's got two jobs, he's giving you everything you want, he's there for you, he's an amazing lover, he's great for you emotionally, he's supportive, and you're stepping up on him, then I'm thinking, oh my god, like, what more do you want? If you want an open relationship, have that conversation
and say,
because I feel like you can find what you want with anyone. There are so many people in this world. If we just have an open and honest conversation about the type of relationships that we want, I feel like we would get a lot more further. I've got friends who were in open relationships, and I'm not gonna lie, when I first stepped into the sex world, I was just like, how the hell have they got this? Like, is this really a thing? And then when I got used to it, I was just like, this is beautiful. Like, I love it. Like, it works for them. And they're both happy. They're both honest. And you just see it more. Like, the more I got into the world, the more I started to see it. And I was just like, I wish this could be done a lot more. But I know that our community...
will shame us.
The Black community will definitely, like, look at you sideways. You're in an open what? Was it an open relationship?
You won't even be able to go back to church.
I mean, look at Will and Jada. Look at Will and Jada right now. Like, we haven't let them rest for how... Well, Jada, you ain't let us rest, to be fair.
She has got a book out there.
She has got a book out. That's what I'm saying. She hasn't let us rest.
Quite a lot of this has been framed in terms of the publicity.
Do you think so?
From the Chris Rock? No.
That was just very weird.
Yes.
That was the fact that they were living... The fact that their relationship was the way it was structured
for 7 years
when that slap took place was very odd. But that just shows it
you
to
don't
me,
know.
That just shows me how much of it is all about the artifice and the publicity.
It's always optics. And it also tells me that you just really never know anyone's
what's
true relationship.
On.
You don't know what's going on. So mind your business. Mind your business and drink some water.
My big thing is don't judge.
Absolutely. Right, let's do some dilemmas quickly before okay, so we always ask you guys to send us your dilemmas. The last dilemmas we did 2 weeks ago, we've seen all the comments, we've seen the abuse, guys. We hear you. Women shouldn't cheat. They should just twiddle their fingers and sit there. no, I'm joking. But right, first dilemma, you can send yours to simplyoloni.com/ask is... How can I bring up the idea of my sexual fantasies to my partner? I'm scared it will scare him off. Yeah, I've been scared to bring up sexual fantasies to a partner. I don't know. Like, I mean, I know.
We just briefly touched on this as well.
I think it's about creating a jumping off point. So the person could say, I was listening to this podcast and, or I was...
Exactly.
I saw Lucy Beresford on Instagram talking about this topic.
What do you think about it?
And... I was really intrigued by it. What do you think about it? So that's the thing. The first thing is you put it out there as a topic for conversation, as opposed to say, can I just say, I want you to dress as a fireman? And then I would be, it's more exploratory. And it's very much about having the gentle conversation about the topic in general, rather than going for the specific of what your fantasy is. Because some people's fantasies are quite vanilla and others are way more kinked related and might be a little bit more extreme, and therefore you have to gauge. And if the person has obviously said, oh, I've never thought about that, you still have the conversation. That's why I think the whole Ashley Madison thing is really interesting, because until you start talking about this thing, until you start talking about the different dimensions of relationships, it is harder to find out what your partner thinks. So I think it's about start the topic and then almost play with the idea. What could we do? What would be fun?
Yeah.
And then at some point you drop in your thing, but you don't necessarily have to say, this is my thing. You say, well, I just heard Lucy talking about this, or I heard Aloni talking about it.
Would you
want
to try?
Just to see. I mean, it's important to own your truth, but if your worry is about rejection, just frame it and couch it in a really kind and loving way, and then it won't feel so scary. You might be building it up as something quite scary.
And I think if you're on the opposite end where your partner's telling you something, try not to be too judgmental, because you have to ask yourself, like, oh my gosh, this probably took a lot of guts for them to be open about this.
Don't embarrass them. Yeah.
I've had so many sexual partners in the past where in the back of my mind, I'm just like, I know they feel comfortable telling me this because of my job. And I'm not judging, but hey, I would never know by looking at you that you were into that stuff. That's what I'm thinking.
But there is also a worry that people might misunderstand the whole nature of the sexual fantasy.
Yeah.
And they might think, oh, does this mean that I'm not enough for you? Yeah. Are you basically trying to up the ante
by, not about you,
you know, having some particular thing? Because what we're doing, what we've been doing for the last, whatever it is, 3 months, 3 years, 30 years, actually hasn't been fulfilling you. Have you been keeping this from me for the whole time? So it is a conversation that needs to be handled quite delicately, because the other person might feel inadequate.
Of course.
So you're the one thinking, oh, I can't mention the thing I'm interested in because I might be rejected. Well, imagine how they also might be feeling that you're talking about this, and they might worry that it means they're not enough.
Yeah, no, that's really amazing. Thank you so much for that advice. Also, I saw a kink jar on social media that I thought was really cool.
A kink jar.
It's a kink jar. So basically it's like this sheet, and it has jars, and on each jar is a type of kink. So it could be like a foot fetish. It could be like dress up. It could be... Mm-hmm. There's so many kinks in the world. I'll be here forever. But like, you can maybe like print one out and maybe like play a game, make a game out of it. Like, you know, tick which kink jar. Okay.
Well, it's a bit like those position dice where you just, you know, it's kind of out of your hands because you're just rolling the dice.
Yeah.
And then you get to play. And so you don't have to necessarily own it and say, yes, I'm the one that wants sex with a nun. It's you're the one saying, this is quite interesting. You know, I wonder what that would be like.
Yeah, exactly. So there you go. I hope that helps those who are listening and the person who sent that in. And the nun who's listening. So last one, my friends with benefits told me he's having sex with other people, but I wanted him exclusively to myself. Is this selfish? Selfish. I think yes and
no. I don't
know.
Yes and no. I mean, you only have one life, and at some point you have to be quite self-absorbed about what are my desires, what are my preferences.
Yeah.
And if your preference is to be in an exclusive relationship with this person, that's...
No, but the friends with benefit...
Exactly. So, but if that's your preference, and you've chosen and you've fallen in love maybe with this person with whom you're having an FOB relationship, then that's the moment at which you have to ask yourself, well, am I waiting for the impossible? Is this person just never going to commit to me? Yeah. And in a way, that they're sort of saying that, aren't they? They're saying, actually, I'm not exclusive in this one. Unless, of course, you haven't had the conversation. If you haven't had the conversation about exclusivity, now is the time to have the conversation. But of course, I am assuming that the person who's written in is terrified to do that, because they're frightened the other person will say, no, I think I've just explained to you, I'm shagging loads of other people. So I'm not in the... But I think it's still, for the sake of your heartache, you kind of want to know now rather than in 2 years' time. That actually, and that's a horrible...
How do you feel? I had a friends with benefit situation can't even remember, maybe like a year or two ago, and I did get jealous, like when I realized he was having sex with other people. But then I
had to normal.
And then I just reined myself in and I was like, do I really want him like that? No.
What did you want him more than that?
No. I had to think of that, like, okay, just to, because I didn't like having those feelings that, okay, I'm jealous. So I was thinking, do I really want him more than a friend? Yeah. No, we're okay with being friends. Let's just keep it what it is. And I brought it up to him. Very difficult, I can't lie to you. I did bring it up to him and we just spoke about just it is what it is, kind of. So if you want this guy to be exclusive with you, he might not agree, I can't lie to you, because if he's enjoying his fruits elsewhere, then that's a man he's enjoying. But I just feel like you should talk about it and really evaluate what Friends with Benefits means to you.
Yeah, yeah. It's very much about your desires and your preferences. What do you want? Once you've owned that to yourself, then it's harder to not then ask the other person. Once you've admitted it to yourself, it's harder to keep that secret. Mm-hmm. If you haven't really asked yourself that question, then you could be ping-ponging around for a long time.
Yeah. See, I said yes and no because I think, is it selfish in a way? Because it's just like the relationship we've already established is that we're just friends with benefits. That's it. We're nothing emotional. It doesn't mean that I can't have sex with other people. Friends with benefits just like me.
Yeah, but relationships aren't like, you know, if you go into an Italian restaurant and you've committed to go to an Italian restaurant and everyone has signed up for it and looking forward to it and you sit down and you say, where's the Chinese food? Mm-hmm. No one is going to, people are going to say, but you knew you were coming to an Italian restaurant.
Yeah.
You don't serve Chinese food.
Yeah.
But relationships change. And I think it's perfectly possible FOB.
And then it changes.
Because somebody develops feelings for the other person or the other person thinks, actually, this isn't enough for me and I want FOB with like seven other people.
Yeah.
So you definitely.
You can change your mind.
Yeah. And you can change your mind.
Anytime.
Even when you're in a committed relationship with that person, and even if you get married, my point is always keep having the conversations.
Because
even if you're married, even if you've been married for 10 years or 30 years,
you
need to keep having the conversations about, are you still having fun? Am I still
enough?
Am I still giving you what you want? And are you still giving me what I need?
Yeah, that's good. I was going to say, the reason why I was going to say no, it's also not selfish, is because at the end of the day, it's sex. It's your sexual health. And I think everyone should be selfish about their sexual health. When I say selfish.
I definitely would want to know.
That's why I said yes and no. Because I was just like, friends with benefits. Like, we know like the rules to friends with benefits means that we're just having sex. Like, I feel like... I don't know. I don't want to say globally because I don't know globally, but I feel like when we talk about friends with benefits, it just means we're just fucking.
Yeah.
But you are allowed to ask, are you sleeping with anybody else? I'm not really cool with that. I'd prefer if it was just us two. Okay, cool. That's the rules. And then, like you mentioned as well, it can change. But then reason why I say that it's not selfish is because if you're having sex with like, you know, many other people, are you always using protection with them? Are those people on birth control? When was the last time they got tested? When was the last time you got tested since you're having sex with all of these people? And do I need to worry about my sexual health?
I would be more worried about that.
I was just thinking of emotions. I was thinking of sexual health.
That almost gives you the perfect permission to be able to say.
Yeah, of course. It is. It's just like, well, I need to worry about my body because, you know, they're saying that gonorrhea is
antibiotic resistance
now.
So. No.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been for a while now. It really is a perfect excuse.
And that's mainly in the over 50s as a result of the 50s.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. Apparently they're saying that if we're not careful, I was doing a campaign brief today, but they were telling me by 2040, if we're not careful, if we don't get the attention of the government, that people can actually start dying from gonorrhea.
Oh, hell no.
Yeah, exactly. Because apparently like the medication that we were supposed to be taking for these STIs are not as effective as they used to be anymore because they haven't been worked on for so many years that they're becoming resistant to the medication. So, yeah. Yeah, I know.
On that
crazy.
Very cheery note.
I know, right? Sorry, guys. Went from, like, talking about Ashley Madison to STIs that are resistant. Right, that's all the time we have for today. We hope you've enjoyed this episode. I've really enjoyed this episode.
I'm going to think about some stuff on the way home.
I enjoyed the role playing. I enjoyed like just listening to different point of views. And, you know, I think that's what these conversations are supposed to be about. You know, judgment free zone where you come in to listen to different people's opinions and different, you know, just methods of the way people date, the way people have relationships. And I think that's really, really great. So thank you so much, Lucy.
My pleasure.
Really, really appreciate it. But that's all from us. Lucy, please tell us where we can catch you.
Oh, on Instagram, the Lucy Beresford one, or on Twitter at Lucy Beresford, and my website, lucyberesford.com.
Where can we get you?
Find me on Instagram at @soNikki_.
And you guys know where to catch me on all socials at Oloni. Same thing with the page. We're nearly going to be on 10k followers, guys. I think by the time this is out, we'll be on 10k on Instagram. So Amazing. Thank you. But yes, you know where to catch us on all socials. Laid Bear Podcast, # Laid Bear Podcast. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.